Today we're rebuilding a ThinkBrake switch-up in Ableton Live 12 with a low CPU workflow that still feels like real drum and bass. The goal is not just to chop a break and make it busy. The goal is to create a short, controlled, high-impact turn in the groove that can sit inside a drop, an 8-bar turnaround or a second drop evolution without eating your session alive. This matters in DNB because switch-ups live right on the edge of contrast and control. You want that moment where the groove refreshes, the listener feels the corner turning, and the bass gets a new frame to speak through. But if you leave a dense break running as a heavy loop, it can crowd the low end, blur the kick and snare, and start fighting the bass instead of working with it. So the first move is simple. Start small, load a ThinkBrake style source, but don't begin with a full 4-bar loop. Grab a 1-bar or 2-bar slice that already has a strong kick-snare relationship and enough ghost detail to feel alive. If the break feels flat when you loop it at 174 BPM, don't force it. Pick a better source. That's one of the fastest ways to stay pro and stay efficient. What to listen for here is the relationship between the kick and snare. Even before processing, the break should imply motion. If the snare doesn't snap against the kick, or the groove feels weak when it loops, you're better off swapping sources than stacking processing on top of a weak foundation. Now chop the break into functional hits. Don't preserve the whole loop just because it exists. Use the transient points and split it into the pieces that actually matter. Kick, snare, one or two ghost hits, maybe a hat fragment, maybe a signature syncopated hit. In most switch-ups, 4 to 8 carefully chosen slices is enough. You do not need a giant slice grid to make this work. Place those slices across a 1-bar pattern with one or two deliberate gaps. That space is important. It gives the bass room to answer and keeps the phrase feeling composed, not frantic. A really effective move is to keep the snare on the backbeat and replace one of the surrounding ghost hits with a tighter, reversed or repitched fragment. Small change, big payoff. If the phrase starts to feel right, consolidate it. Print it to a new audio clip. That keeps the session lighter and stops you from endlessly nudging tiny edits. A lot of advanced production is just knowing when to commit. For processing, keep it lean and stock. Think EQ8, drum bus or saturator, and utility. That's enough. With EQ8, gently high-pass around 25 to 35 Hz to remove useless sub-rumble. If the break feels boxy, dip a little around 200 to 350 Hz. If the hats get harsh, tame a narrow area around 7 to 10 kHz instead of just rolling off the whole top. The point is to preserve character while clearing space. Then add a little density with drum bus or saturator. Keep it moderate. You want thickness, not destruction. A bit of drive, restrained boom if needed, and only enough transient shaping to help the break speak. If you use saturator, a soft curve and a few dB of drive can add grit without flattening the life out of it. Why this works in DNB is pretty simple. ThinkBrakes already have identity. The more you overprocess them, the more you risk destroying the transient hierarchy that makes them punch in a club mix. We're not redesigning the break from scratch. We are making it sit cleanly inside a modern drop. Now build the switch up as a phrase, not a permanent loop. The best placements are usually the end of an 8-bar or 16-bar idea, where the listener is already ready for a turn. You might run your main drum and bass loop for 7 bars, then let the switch up hit on bar 8. Or in a heavier arrangement, the switch happens across bars 7 and 8, with the second bar acting like a pickup into the next phrase. What to listen for is contrast. If the switch up feels just as loud as the main groove but somehow less exciting, it's probably too long or too full. A good switch up changes the shape of the rhythm and then hands control back to the drop. It's a pivot, not a detour. Now comes the key move, the bass response. This is where the phrase becomes musical instead of just percussive. Create a second track for the bass answer, and keep the note count light. The bass should respond to the break's rhythm, not duplicate the full drum pattern. You've got two strong directions here. One is a sub-led response, where you use a clean sign or very simple operator-style bass note on the root, maybe with one or two support notes. That gives the switch-up weight and keeps the low end stable. The other is a mid-bass reply, where you use a textured restyle patch or a resampled growl, but keep the sub separate or extremely controlled. That give more menace and movement. Choose the first if you want rolling clarity and DJ usefulness. Choose the second if you want the switch up to feel more aggressive, more modern, or more disruptive. Either way, let the bass speak in the empty pockets rather than hitting every drum accent. A bass note that lands just after the snare or on the offset often feels more alive than one that just mirrors the kick grid. For the bass processing, keep it simple and monosafe. A practical stock chain is operator or wavetable, EQ8, saturator, and utility. In operator, a sine or sine plus soft harmonic setup is enough for the sub-led approach. In wavitable, if you want more texture, keep the movement subtle and let saturation carry the attitude. Use EQ8 to clear mud around 120 to 250 Hz if the bass and break are crowding each other. Then use saturator to help the bass read on smaller systems, and keep the bass mono with utility. That part is non-negotiable if the low end is doing the heavy lifting. What to listen for here is whether the bass still feels strong in mono. If it sounds exciting in headphones but falls apart when collapsed, it's not club safe yet. Keep the sub centered, and if you want width, put it only in the upper harmonics. Now use automation to turn this into an arrangement event. Don't automate everything. Automate the filter. A low pass or band pass move across one or two bars on the break can make the groove feel like it's opening or closing. On the bass, a small filter movement, wavitable shift, or a touch more saturation drive can intensify the second half of the phrase without making it overcooked. The listener hears the shift before they consciously identify it, and that's the magic. A modest automation change can make the same pattern feel like it has a first half and a second half. That's exactly what a switch-up needs. At this point, decide whether the switch-up is drum-led or bass-led. This is a really important creative choice. If it's drum-led, the break edit is the main event. The bass stays sparse, maybe just one or two supportive notes. This works great in jungle-leaning drops, DJ tools, and tracks that need rhythmic identity. It feels more like movement, more like percussion taking the lead. If it's bass-led, the break gives the framework, but the bass answer is what people remember. That's ideal for darker rollers, neuro-adjacent sections, and heavier club cuts. It feels more menacing, more tonal, more pressurized. If you choose the drum-led version, keep the bass out of the way and let the break speak. If you choose the bass-led version, simplify the drum chop slightly so the bass can punch through the center of the phrase. Different jobs, different balance. Now check the idea in context. Don't solo it and assume it works. Put it back against the main kick and snare, or the full drop loop, and listen to the handoff. The switch-up should create a clean cap, reinforce the groove, or act like a proper call and response. What to listen for is the kick, the snare, and the 174 pulse. Does the kick still hit cleanly when the switch-up lands? Does the snare keep its front edge, or is it getting swallowed by the break texture? Can you still feel the tempo even when the rhythm gets fractured? If the answer is no, reduce the slices, shorten the bass tail, or carve a small pocket around 180 to 300 Hz where the collision is happening. Once the rhythm is locked, print it to audio. This is one of the best CPU-saving moves in Ableton, and it also forces you to commit to the arrangement. After printing, you can reverse a slice, add a tiny fade, duplicate a hit for emphasis, or bounce the whole switch phrase and rechop it into a signature fill. That's where the idea starts feeling like part of the record instead of a loop-based experiment. And don't repeat the exact same switch-up twice unless you're deliberately using it as a motif. On the second pass, change just one thing. Move a ghost note, swap the final bass note, mute one hat slice, add a reverse tail, extend the last snare decay slightly. In DNB, tiny evolution usually beats huge reinvention. Keep the dance floor locked, but give the phrase a little growth. A few extra things to keep in mind. Treat the switch-up like a written sentence, not a drum loop. If every slice is speaking at once, the phrase loses authority. Usually you want one clear accent point per bar, then controlled movement around it. Also, watch your tail behavior. Too much tail on a snare chop or ghost hit can smear the next kick and make the phrase feel sluggish at 174. Often the fix is shorter fades and cleaner edges, not more processing. If you're not sure whether to keep editing, ask yourself a simple question. Is this next change making it better, or just making it different? Better is usually smaller. That's a good rule in darker, heavier DNB where clarity is everything. A strong quality check is to mute the bass and see whether the break still implies the drop's momentum. Then do the reverse. Mute the break and see whether the bass still carries a believable rhythm. If either one collapses on its own, the interaction is too dependent. You want the parts to work together, but each one should still have an identity. And here's a nice advanced move. Resample the break with the bass interaction included once the dialogue feels right. That's a huge low CPU win. The interaction itself becomes the texture. You can then slice that printed result, shape it, and use it like a single focused object. So to recap, start with a short think break source, chop it down to the functional hits, keep the processing minimal, and build the switch up as a one bar or two bar arrangement event rather than a permanent loop. Let the bass answer instead of copy, keep the sub mono, use automation to create motion, and commit to audio once the groove is locked. If you want drum-led energy, let the break lead. If you want bass-led pressure, let the low end become the memory of the phrase. Now do the exercise. Build a 2-bar switch-up using only stock Ableton devices. Limit yourself to 6 slices, keep the bass mono, and make one automation move that changes the energy across the phrase. If you want the full challenge, make 2 versions of the same idea, one drum-led and one bass-led, both at 174 BPM, both tight enough to drop into a real DNB arrangement. That's the real test. Keep it clean, keep it intentional, and make it hit.